I had that kind of thinking for a while. But I never had the money for all that cool stuff. My name is Brenda Schaefer, and I'm here today to talk to you about abortion. I want to start by saying I am not an expert on abortion procedures, laws, or statistics. And I can't address all the issues today. There are too many. What I'm going to tell you today is my story. I'm going to tell you the story of many women, and sadly, the story that will be for many more women. I'm going to tell you about the lies I believed. I'm going to tell you about the truth that was revealed. I'm going to tell you about a mighty God who loves and forgives. For those of you who heard me a couple years ago, I'm afraid you might be disappointed. This was a much harder talk to prepare. I didn't relish the idea of going to the computer and reliving this. It was hard to get to, even 25 years later. I've thought about what Brenda, the Geneva College student years ago, would have thought sitting in the audience, and I can't decide if I'd have gone away from this speech spitting mad or convicted. I don't know. But I trust that God will help me. I'll start right in. I was raised in a very liberal, non-Christian home. I grew up with this lie that you need to try to be a good person, but God's law is irrelevant. Those people who talked about God's law were a bunch of tight asses, and they didn't know what living was, so don't listen to it. So as a teenager, I was a very confused and needy girl. I had a hole in my heart that I couldn't fill, and I certainly couldn't be filled with God. It had to be something else. So I decided for a long time to try to fill it with boys, and I had sex a lot with a lot of boys, trying to get a boy to stay and to love me, and so my heart would be filled. Nobody stuck around for very long, some longer than others, but never very long. I was a very promiscuous young woman. And several times when I was a teenager, I thought I might be pregnant. But one time when I was 18, I had just graduated from high school, I thought, I think I'm pregnant this time. I was sick. So I went to a place where I could get a free pregnancy test. And the woman did the test, came back, came into the room and said, "You are pregnant. The results are positive." And then she said, "I need to go get something for you to see. I'm going to leave the room. Wait right here." Well, I kind of knew what kind of place that was. I knew it was the kind of place that didn't want me to do what I knew I was going to do. I knew that they were kind of weird. And I felt like she was going to bring me back pictures of blown apart baby pieces for me to see so I could feel guilty. And I wasn't going to listen to that goody two-shoes tell me how to live my life. So I got out of that chair, ran down the stairs, and got out of there as fast as I could. And as I was going down the stairs, I remember what I was thinking. I was thinking, don't be pregnant. Because all my life, through sex education classes and at home, I had heard this message, don't get pregnant. I don't really think I heard, save yourself for marriage, don't have sex. I had just heard, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. And as I was walking down the stairs, I thought, don't be pregnant. It was another lie that I believed, that I told myself. The lie that says, do what you want, but don't suffer the consequences. Here's a quote from a politician who's pro-abortion. "I'm going to teach my girls values and morals, but if they make a mistake, I don't want them to be punished with a baby." Do what you want, but don't suffer the consequences. So between the time I found out I was pregnant and the time that I went in for my abortion, I had to feed myself all kinds of lies to get to the abortion clinic. And I'm going to tell you a few of those lies and a few of the truths that were real. One lie I told myself was, if I'm pregnant, I'm going to be so embarrassed walking around, and my reputation is going to be ruined. Not only was that a lie, that was a joke, because I was a whore, and I didn't have a reputation to save. I should have been embarrassed already about the way I was living. The second lie I told myself was, my parents are going to kill me. My life is going to be blown apart. The truth was, I had my abortion secretly, and afterwards, my parents did find out. There was anger, there was conflict, but it, it smoothed over. And if I'd have been pregnant and had a baby, that would have smoothed over too. Another lie I told myself was, I can't raise a baby. A baby's going to ruin my life. The truth was, I didn't have to raise a baby. There were adoption agencies out there, and there are many adoption agencies out there today, one being Bethany Christian Services that I called before my talk, and what they told me was, there are lines and lines of couples waiting to adopt babies. There aren't enough babies for these couples. If you go on to a website like Bethany.org, you'll see these couples who have their resumes out there. And a mother today can choose what couple her baby goes to, can even choose how much contact she has. There are so many choices in the area of adoption. Now, here's a convoluted lie I told myself. Here's another one. Well, I couldn't give a baby up for adoption because, you see, I would have that baby and I would see that baby's face and I would fall in love and then I'd keep the baby and then my life would be ruined. There's a double lie there. Number one, I didn't love the baby enough to let it live. I don't know why I thought in a delivery room with a screaming baby, mother love was going to sprinkle down on me like pixie dust. It wasn't going to happen. And even if it would have happened, even if that would have somehow happened to my hard heart, and even if I did keep that baby at age 18, it would have been hard. It might not have been the best thing, but my life would not have been ruined. Another lie I told myself was 9 months is a really long time out of my life, and I have big plans, and I can't have that happen to me. I didn't even want to go to college. I don't know what I was thinking. But the truth is, it was a matter of perspective. 9 months isn't that long. And when you're pregnant, you keep living. You don't sit in a chair for 9 months. You keep doing what you're going to do. Another lie that somebody helped me along with that I had to keep telling myself, a coworker of mine said to me, don't think of this as a baby. Think of this as a problem to be solved. And I figured she knew what she was talking about because she'd had two or three abortions already. And so I told myself, okay, this isn't a baby. This is a problem to be solved. The truth is, you can't change the truth by thinking lies. But the biggest lie I've ever believed, the biggest lie of all, was this. After this abortion, it's going to be done. If I go through this pregnancy, that's 9 months, and then after the pregnancy, you know, this or that could happen, it have to happen, this is my whole life. I have an abortion, I go in there, I go to the appointment, I do what has to be done, and I move on. Lie, 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 lie. It couldn't have been further from the truth. The truth that nobody told me, the truth that nobody tells women, is that abortion is forever. It never ends. The baby's dead, and I did it. And the baby cannot be brought back, no matter what I think, no matter what I do. He's gone. A human being has been extinguished forever because of me, and I can't undo it. And the repercussions for my life were enormous. But I listened to my own lies. I drove to Pittsburgh, and I went to the abortion clinic. They took my money. Remember that? They took my money. It's a business. They read me a quick warning, pro-life warning, that the governor had made them read during, it was kind of a law thing. And this is the part I couldn't write or practice. And then they took me into the room. They put a gown on me, put me up on the table. I'm 18. I put my feet in stirrups. And they insert into my vagina. And the cramping was incredible. And he turns on the machine. And there's a loud vacuum rush. And the pain. And he pulled that baby out of my body. It was done. I was kind of shaky. They gave me a glass of juice. I said, put on your clothes. Sent me home. And that was that. After that, I lived for years, with a strange tension of guilt and continuing to try to convince myself that truth were lies. And so I had this hurt and guilt welling up in me, and I'd push it down and say, no, that wasn't bad. And I hated myself, I did. I broke up with that current boyfriend. I married someone else, moved far away within a couple of months. I hated myself. I didn't even know why I hated myself. I was suicidal. I had what they call now an eating disorder. We didn't know what that was at the time. And I abused my body with drugs and alcohol. But at the same time, I considered myself to be pro-abortion. I thought that anti-abortion people were narrow-minded and controlling and had no right to tell women what to do. You see the tension, the guilt, the lies, and it just came out this way. And my life exploded for that and many reasons. Many years and a lot of pain later, I came face to face with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was then I was hit between the eyes with the sacrificial love of Christ. I learned that he laid down his life for me. And it was the first time I really understood what love was, that I realized what a selfish, hateful thing I had done to my child. I realized that I was a murderer, a cold-blooded murderer. And people have said to me when I've said that, oh, no, you were 17, you were scared. No, don't do that. Don't excuse it. Don't sugarcoat it. I was the most heinous of murderers. I didn't just kill somebody. I killed my child. I killed my child who completely depended on me for life. Don't lessen what my God did for me in forgiving me. And so then I had no more lies to push down the guilt, so the guilt just rose to the surface, as it should have. But for me, I understood on some level that God had forgiven my sins, but I felt like I couldn't forgive myself. That kind of showed my immature understanding of God's forgiveness. But finally, after a time with the Lord, I was married, and I became pregnant with my first baby, Sarah, who is now 15. And it was during that pregnancy that the guilt started to overwhelm me, because I was pregnant and I remember this feeling with the baby. And as the pregnancy went on, oh, this is what it would have been like. And I found myself dwelling more and more on that baby. And the guilt was just overwhelming me. And what had happened was I had, as a Christian, built an altar to that baby that I had aborted. I thought that if I stopped feeling guilty, that I was abandoning that baby, and that I was just being a bad mother all over again. The only thing I had left to offer my unborn child was my guilt, and I couldn't let go of it, and it wasn't a good place to be. So anyways, after I had Sarah, I became pregnant again, and I was very excited about this pregnancy. And I was really trying to work through my abortion issues. I had a book by my bedside table, and it was on getting through an abortion and forgiveness, and I hadn't opened it. So anyways, I was pregnant with my baby, and a few months into the pregnancy, I was getting ready for work, and I start to bleed, and I start to cramp. And I realize that I'm miscarrying. And I called the doctor, and he said, you're miscarrying, get into the bed, put up your feet. And I was all alone in the house. And so I was in my bed, and I'm losing my baby, and I'm praying to my God and saying, Lord, this baby's yours, and I don't want to lose this baby, but he's yours, or she's yours, and I'm just going to give this baby over to you. Just be with me. Just help me through this. And, okay, this is the part, if God speaking to a person bothers you, cover your ears. I'm RP, but this really happened. And at that point, God spoke to me. As clear as a bell, he spoke to me. And he said to me, Brenda, you have given Sarah over to me so many times. And here you are, you're losing this baby, and you're giving this baby to me as you should. Won't you give that other baby to me? Won't you let go? Won't you accept my forgiveness like you should? And so it was there, lying on my bed, losing the baby I didn't want to lose. But I took the baby that I had thrown away once and that I was holding on to with all my might, and I laid it at the foot of the cross and left it there. How could I resist him? And it was there that I found healing. Never did get to that book. I hear those books are good things. That's how God healed me. If I saw a statistic on Planned Parenthood that said 2 out of 3 women have abortions, which tells me it's likely that someone in this room may be holding on to guilt from an abortion. I want you to know, if you're that girl, that there is freedom in Christ. If you're a murderer like I am, know that there's no place else to go for hope, for peace, for healing. If there was another place, I'd have found it, because I didn't want it to be Jesus. But if you go, Jesus, who's truth and love personified, he will wash away the guilt and the shame of the lies of abortion. His blood is the only thing that's powerful enough. I want to give one warning, though, because I think I want to give this warning that though I have certainly been forgiven and certainly the guilt is gone, that God will not be mocked. I spoke with a young woman once who was considering abortion, and I told her about my story, and she said, "Oh, I'm stronger than that. I'll get through that. That's I can deal with that and still have my abortion." She went to church, said she was a Christian. And I said, "What about God? Do you know that you are defying Almighty God? Do you fear God?" And she looked at me with victory in her eyes and said, "There is forgiveness." And I thought, "You're in trouble." God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Because I am going to live the rest of my life with the consequences of what I've done. I'm going to live the rest of my life with the knowledge that my baby is dead and that I did it. The guilt doesn't consume me, but the fact doesn't change. And how many millions of children, of people, can't stand up here and say that today? I won't give my life so you won't be embarrassed, Mom. Thanks. I don't even want to give my life so that it won't be really, really hard for you for a while. I'd like to live. Thank you. Ronald Reagan had a great quote. He said, "Abortion is advocated only by persons who have themselves been born." Abe Lincoln said something similar to that about slavery. He said, "Whenever I hear someone arguing for slavery, I feel a strong impulse to see it tried on him personally." The unborn cannot speak. They have no voice. But so we must. If you are a young man or a young woman who's involved in an unplanned pregnancy, be the voice for that child who can't speak for himself. Love that child sacrificially. Take the blows for that child for the sake of his life. Accept the consequences for what you've done and let your child live. If you have a friend who's considering abortion, be the voice for her unborn child. Don't buy into this lie that says, "Well, it's my job as her friend to support her in whatever she decides." Lie. Cop out. A true friend challenges and even puts friendships on the line to speak the truth in love. And believe me, you will be saving her from such pain Later on, not to speak of her baby. It has been said that any society, any nation is judged on the basis of how it treats its weakest members, the last, the least, the littlest, I say those without a voice. As American Christians, will we be the voice for the unborn who can't cry out for themselves? This is an extremely important question to consider, especially today. Or are we more concerned with our pocketbooks, our convenience, our new horizons that promise us a better tomorrow? What about their tomorrows? They have no voice. My baby had no voice. Are we as a society complacently accepting slavery disguised as freedom, wrong disguised as our rights, selfishness disguised as higher thinking, and lies disguised as truth? I want to challenge you, speak out for the unborn. They need our voices today. Thank you very much.